Welcome back to the Scissortail Podcast, episode 12 now. Your host, Porter Cunningham here, joined as always by my good friend, Will Bowersox. Will, say hello to the people.
Greetings, people. Greetings, Porter. I have to say I am feeling quite good after both a delicious sandwich and a glorious Ryo victory over the hated Miyama Flow Riders.
Miyama Flow Rider FC. Yeah, great 3-2 victory on a Friday night match. We don't have any corrections from last week's episode, or week before last, I guess. We've taken 2 weeks off, so let's jump right into discussion about the game itself.
Didn't know what to expect, and what we saw was, well, even before that, so let's talk about the weather. So
90-minute delay.
90-minute rain delay clearly had an impact on the game, both from the standpoint of, you know, the field and the pitch, but also just, I think any team would tell you that 90 minutes to, like, get ready to go and get revved up and then stop, and then 90 minutes again is just not good. The stadium is pretty sweet.
Love the stadium.
Love the stadium. The field, I get it. You're playing in a football stadium, but it makes me glad that we have at the UConn the grass.
Yeah, as previously discussed, the alternative of painting over the football grid lines looks really, really ugly.
Yeah, but it did. But the thing is, both of these teams were expansions. It was their first game. So I didn't know what to expect, partially because they're both expansion sites, but I definitely did not watch any film on Miami FC. But in the past, we've seen Ryo come out and play 4-2-3-1, which is a more definitely more attacking. And so what we did end up seeing was Ryo initially came out in a 4-3-3, which I found interesting, right? But really what they ended up doing was sitting in a 5-3-1-1, which was like one guy sitting at midfield and then the 5-3-1 beneath him, and just basically playing defense and sitting back all game, hoping to get goals on the counter. And like I said, I'm not with the team. I'm not training them. I hadn't seen Miami play. So on the one hand, I like that Marcina is tactically flexible, pending his judgment as coach based on who we're playing. But I also felt it's really dangerous. And if you, yes, Ryo won, but if you want to see the danger play out, go watch the first half of Everton Man United from Saturday's FA Cup semifinal. Because Everton did the exact same thing, and unlike Ryo, they just got down early, so they had to adjust their play.
Right. So let me take a step back for a second, because in past episodes we've recapped games by going through the goals and the discipline, and I think we both agree that if you want that kind of coverage, you can go read the NASL write up on the game. We're gonna skip that. So we're gonna go basically directly into Tech Talk. And then...
Yeah, sorry I didn't set that up.
That's okay. It's all right. Tech Talk, not electronics, soccer talk.
Tactics.
So, yeah, agree 100%. We saw it the whole game, right? Miami, without having Opjack in front of me, Miami controlled the ball. They dominated possession. It felt like, at least. They dominated possession. They had a ton of chances.
They lived in Ryo's third.
The only two goals in the run of play were counter goals, which is probably fine. You know, I think if you're going to play a 5-3-1-1, you better already have the lead. So the first goal from Robbie Finley allowed that 5-3-1-1 to be successful to some extent.
Yeah, going back to the Marcina's pregame quote, which was like something to the tune of, "We trust our system and what the preparation we've done for this week." So, like, clearly he adjusted things for this game. He saw something in Miami FC's style of play, which is pretty attacking, and, you know, he had conviction in it. And if, say, that we had lost or tied, it's a different conversation perhaps, but we won. And takeaway for me, they got the W. That's great. We're tactically flexible, and, you know, I liked that. I think the team is also, it's early in the season, maybe it is a little banged up. So we saw Van Schaik come in to play in the left back role.
What'd you think about Van Schaik?
I don't know. I think he got better as the game went on. I think that if we had a fully healthy team, I'm not sure he plays. But having said that, if we were going to come out and play a 4-3-3 and then like a 5-3-1-1, maybe situationally he's the guy. But he played, I mean, he had a tough matchup, right? Like one of their best players was basically, so basically what Riley was doing was sitting in the middle of the field, forcing Miami FC out to the wings to like
playing get a lot like Carolina did last week, again, right? Yeah. Or 2 weeks ago, like we discussed, clog up the midfield, force them to play wing play.
And so, look, in that style of play, your left back and your right back are going to be in a lot of ISO moments, which they may not necessarily be in as many of in a different tactical style of play. So he played fine. He played fine. He got better as the game went on. He made some obvious mistakes, but it didn't cost
first game jitters, maybe?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, maybe. I'm glad Samaras didn't play. I didn't know what the field was like, but just looking at it, I wouldn't want to risk someone playing, yeah, especially.
From the reactions of some of the Rayo players, I mean, it's so funny to hear that there were complaints about the Rayo field at the beginning of the year. Yep. And I think so far as artificial turf goes, and I'm careful to say artificial turf, not field turf, because that's the brand name, right?
Right.
So far as artificial turf goes, I think by the end of the season we will find that Rayo has the best artificial turf in the league, because if you looked at the way that Robbie went down a couple times and kind of looked at his arms like,
what are these black pellets on me?
Yeah, I mean, just, well, I saw someone, stupid rubber pellets everywhere.
I saw someone on Twitter was like, goalies shouldn't be allowed to wear black pants, like, shouldn't be allowed to wear full sleeves and black and like long pants. It's like, well, you shouldn't have black pellets on your field, right? Yeah. I wouldn't want those on me anyway.
Being a goalie myself in indoor, I can attest that after the game, you spend any amount of time on the ground, you go to take a shower and you undress yourself, and it's black pellets everywhere. So,
yes. I thought Miami. One thing that Rayo almost got caught out on a couple times was playing around with the ball in the back.
Agree.
So Miami played a brilliant counter pressing style, and it caused us a lot of problems. And it's a contributing factor to why we didn't have very much possession in the game.
Yeah. Do you think that's a function of the what we're calling the five at the back that we were playing? I mean, you have five at the back. You don't have a whole lot of midfield. So it kind of lends itself to play around with the ball in the back a little bit?
Absolutely. And what I saw happen a number of times is the goalie would get the ball, would win the ball on a tackle in the back, and they would immediately try to break by pulling the ball up to Finley, who's the point man at like half field. But he's up there by himself, and as soon as he gets the ball, he's got, you know, four or five players converging on him. So rather than like playing an outlet pass to Forbes or Michel on the left, he had to drop it back. But he was dropping it back like probably 20 or 30 yards, and so we didn't really have a good chance to like get possession and build
big,
a play.
Big open space in the midfield.
Big,
is what
big
you're
open space. But
so counterpoint to that, we heard from an unnamed source at the Carolina game at home that they were kind of hoping that Robbie would play in more of a true striker role without Ryan Johnson this game. Ryan was on the bench with the 4-3-3 instead of the 4-2-3-1. Like you said, Robbie playing a true target man striker role. As soon as he found any sort of space, he puts a great shot on net and it goes in. And I think when I first saw the shot, I was kind of like, how do you let that go in? But then when I saw the alternate angle, the keeper was shielded. He almost, not really bent it, but
well, he had three defenders on him.
I mean, he's definitely put it through the eye of the needle there, threaded the eye of the needle and found that just inside of the post. So
shooters got to shoot.
Yeah.
I like it. I thought it was good. It was good. And obviously Forbes's goal was brilliant. Just caught him on the break and got a breakaway, used his speed. And I think it's really easy to think if you're in a one-on-one with a keeper, you're going to score automatically, but it's actually quite difficult. So I thought his finish was great.
Yeah. I'll be very surprised if we don't see that a lot this season. It's going to be a big threat to every team we play is Billy Forbes on the break.
Yeah.
You play the ball into space and Billy just takes care of business. I mean, he beat two or three guys on that possession. So exciting to see that. From the Miami FC side, Svitonich, however you want to pronounce it, with a C or not, took him off in the first half pretty early. I guess Nesta didn't really like what he was seeing out of his striker that had scored three goals in three games up to that point.
Did he take him off after they were down a goal?
Yes, I think so. I think he changed something at that point, but I wasn't really paying attention to Miami, so just something that I noted.
Yeah. I mean, Miami played great. They're not a bad team at all. Sometimes games don't go your way.
So
their second goal is fantastic off the corner.
Yeah.
By the way, that's second conceded corner goal that Rayo has let slip. I don't like that. It's a bad stat, bad trend.
Well, and we noticed in the very first game that Rayo seemed the stats said otherwise, but Rayo seemed to be losing more. I think OptiJack calls them aerial duels than they were winning. So certainly something to keep an eye on. You know, we know set pieces are only such a small fraction of the game,
of course. Right.
But there you go. There's another set piece goal against Rayo, and then the penalty, the fortunate penalty, I guess you could say.
For me, by the way, let's talk about that. Okay. That's a penalty for me, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're through on goal. The foul begins outside the box, but continues into the box. I think by the letter of the law, it's a penalty.
I actually don't see how you claim it's not a penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, Homer call of the week here, right? I get it, but I don't even understand why there were people. Like, the Miami FC commentator was talking about how they got gypped by the refs again, quote unquote. I just don't see how. I mean, imagine if the rules were reversed, what he'd be saying. So yeah. I just can't see how you don't call that a penalty.
I mean, you certainly, as a defender, if you're beat there, you don't stick your foot out. We learned that in week one. You just, if you do, you're subjecting yourself to the referee's decision. A couple of other minor things that I want to talk about before we move on from last week's game.
Great.
The fans at Miami had over 10,000 at their first game. I don't think anyone still got an official count from this game, but it's well under 3,000. Any concern there if you're a Miami FC fan, or do you just chalk it up to the weather and move on?
Yeah, I think you chalk a lot of it up to the weather. The real question is how many people were tailgating or were planning to come and then just either left or didn't come.
Yeah.
That's what we don't really know.
Yeah.
But if someone from Miami FC was, you know, boots on the ground and says that, you know, there were a bunch of families there, but they just left. And by the way, I don't blame them, right? I mean, if I had like a two-year-old.
If I'm at a game with my five-year-old son and it starts pouring down rain and they're saying 90-minute delay, I can't entertain my son for 90 minutes before the game.
It's like, how do you feel about a little early nap time tonight, Billy?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's a fluke deal, but there's so much we don't know. Did they quote-unquote paper the stadium for game one?
Was it all the babes and they didn't have babes in game two?
There are more established, more successful, higher attendance strong sports teams that have had, relative to the attendance capacity, have had their attendance decimated by rainstorms right before kickoff or tip off that have, you know, caused people to go home. So it happens.
Yep. Last question. If you're a linesman, not a referee, not the central referee, a linesman, do you prefer to have football? You asked me this question. If you're a player, do you like to have football grid lines, you know, to make a more precise run or precise pass? If you're a linesman, do you prefer to have football grid lines on the field?
I think there were a few plays where you could tell the linesman was using. He made some offsides calls that were not questionable, but they were close, and you could tell he was relying on the lines. But I would rather just have different shades of grass, like you see on TV every week in England.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Certainly looks better to have just true grass.
Right.
But anything else about Miami FC you want to talk about?
They're a good team. We'll see what happens going forward with them. Someone was saying, okay, this is my last comment. Someone said, you know, Miami FC has arguably been the better team, but hasn't won a game in their four games that they have played. Well, four games is a lot of games. And if they were the better team, they would have won, especially since they had the ball so much in Rayo's third. So if they were really the better team, they would have won.
Yeah.
Call me a homer. I'm a homer.
I know. I agree. I agree 100% with that sentiment. So.
All right. Well, anyway, that wraps up segment one, tactics talk. We will come back to discuss something that has yet to be determined. We'll figure it out on the break.
It's Indy 11.
Indy 11. Stay with us. We will return. Conga's in.
Welcome back. Segment two, episode 12, Scissor Tail Podcast. Porter Cunningham here with Will Bower Sox. We have moved on from Miami FC. from the first road win and first win in Ryo OKC history. We're now moving on to home game number 3. It's match day 5 for the NASL. Indy 11 coming to town. So Indy 11 brings a team that has no losses so far. 2 draws. They drew Tampa Bay in the first week and Ottawa 1-1 second week. They miraculously, or I guess very excitingly, beat the New York Cosmos in week 3. They were down 1-0 in the waning stages of the game and came back to win 2-1. So,
love that.
Pretty exciting game to be at if you're an Indy fan. Couple of players to watch out for. Iman Zaid, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I don't have the media guide for this week yet. So he scored both goals against the Cosmos.
All right. What position does he play?
I believe he's a forward or a central midfielder maybe. Last played for Sabah in the Malaysian Premier League. Irish forward who has played internationally with Libya. So what are you looking forward to Saturday?
I'm looking forward, honestly, I haven't seen Indy 11 play, and I'm not going to break down their film. I'm really just excited to, I guess, all the off-the-field stuff. So we know, we've heard through the Twitterverse that Indy is going to bring down like 30 to 50 supporters is the rumor.
The Brickyard Battalion, yes, is traveling.
Great name for a sports
group, en masse.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting some. So it's the closest away game for their city and ours for the time being. And I'm excited to meet some guys that live in a different city. And I want to look forward to hanging out with them on Friday night, whatever we end up doing. Love maybe to like pick their brains a bit about building out a supporters group or have the people with the Red Army do so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking
This is Sunday the 24th. So still a lot to be decided, but they'll be coming into town Friday.
Yep.
And they already reached out to us, you know, what should we do Friday night? And I think we're going to do a little joint get together Friday night, and then Saturday game day.
Yeah, there should be a pregame tailgate that the Red Army is going to host.
A good sized tailgate.
So really excited to try for to that. Do. And
there's also the Oklahoma Blood Institute is going to have their RV on site at Miller Stadium. So we're throwing it out there, Brickyard Battalion. If you want to donate literally to a good cause and donate a pint, and then
drink
multiple pints.
It is $2 beer night.
As I said, your alcohol efficiency, or I guess your ability.
Keep it safe.
Because you donate blood and then you go hammer some beers and it hits you a lot faster than you're used to.
Which we should talk about this later in free talk, the beer thing.
Yes.
This is we don't have a blanket exemption. It is a one game thing, so I feel weird even having to say this, but hopefully no one...
In free talk, we will talk about Speakeasy FC, the new team that's playing at Miller Stadium, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
returning to the point. Yes, I'm definitely excited to see Ryo play again, and I want to see how the game tactics change and the lineup changes, and hopefully it'll be good weather and we can actually see attacking football. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of weirdly looking forward to meeting people that are also part of this crazy NASL experiment and learn from them and get to know some cool people.
Yeah, I know. I hate to consistently say this, but our coverage of NASL teams will get better in the fall season. But
Maybe.
Yeah, could possibly get better in the fall season. It's kind of like as we watch them play, I feel like I learn the teams because I'm, like you said, we're not going to study film pregame. This is not our only job, but we're going to watch the game and we're going to remember who the key players
are. But if someone wanted to make it our only job, I'd be interested.
We'd be open to that possibility of
giving us money to watch soccer.
To be the video editing preparation breakdown guys. Worked for Eric Spoelstra. It could work for us. Coach Marcina, we're coming for your job. Not really. Please don't stare into my soul. Anyways, Indy awesome. Saturday. Looking forward to the tailgate. I'm looking forward to doing a good thing, giving some blood. I'm looking forward to $2 beers, which we will, as you said, we'll discuss further later. $2 beer night Saturday night. The team is playing the PC card, and they're not going to spread the good word about the cheap beer
But we will.
Too much, but we will. So it's $2 beer Saturday night. So come out to Miller Stadium.
And let's talk about, you can tailgate in the parking lot, which would be great. And then in the stadium, this long rumored, long awaited beer garden.
Die Beer Garden.
Yes, Die Beer Garden will be open.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We won't be able to go down there except post game, I suppose.
Sure.
But I don't know that I would want to spend a lot of time in the beer garden. I want to actually watch the game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be pregame and then have a beer during warmups in the stadium.
Right.
A beer or two during, and then maybe a beer at halftime.
Take it
but,
easy.
But yeah, looking forward to it.
Cool.
I'm actually surprisingly, we talked about this, but I mean, the bug has bit me. You know, we cover this team
on a professional, strictly professional amateur basis.
Semi-professional basis, and met the players, and we were like, yeah, they're going to play, so what? And now, during the off week, I was like, what am I going to do?
We were jumping around and high-fiving when they scored on Friday.
We're media members. We can't do that.
Right. Yeah, well, keep it objective. Yeah, keep it objective.
I guess we can do that at home, just not in the press box.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, just looking forward to some NASL soccer this weekend. So, we'll see everybody at Miller Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, so that wraps up segment two, which is our very thorough and detailed breakdown of the Indy 11. And we will come back with a quick segment three to talk about Free Talk in the last 2 weeks that were for Ryo OKC. Conga's in.